Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the weekly Thursday morning edition of the Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. I'm Sister Amara and delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. Well, it's already the 10th of Zilqada, corresponding to the 2nd of July. It's, it's amazing how time has passed as well. And Allah grant ease and strength, you know, to all those who are, I think we're all going through very trying times now with the COVID. Many, many people are down with the virus as well. Many people have lost their loved ones as well. And Allah grant them all the highest days of Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. And Allah make it easy for everybody. Ameen. Yes. Well, here's what you can look forward to in today's program. Our theme today is on Middle Eastern cuisine. And my two co-hosts, Andika Recha and Antihava, will be joining me after our guest interview. And talking about our guest, today we're actually chatting to recipe creator and blogger, Sister Maryam Essa Sayed. And she's behind the Instagram page, Food Ever Marseille, Food Ever Marseille. And also later on, Antikareja and Hava will be joining me and we're going to be talking more about the Middle Eastern cuisine, the different types of dishes, also the spices and herbs used in the Middle Eastern cuisine. And the recipes we're going to be sharing with you is from our guest, that's Sister Maryam Essa Sayed, a lovely divine croissant pudding. You can also call it Ali. Okay, and she's going to be telling us more about that later on. And then we also got a Middle Eastern cuisine recipes. We're sharing with you Malay skewers, hummus, and marinated olives. Well, all these sound so yummy. And today's question, interactive question is, what's your favorite Middle Eastern dish? You can WhatsApp me on 072-786-1548. Well, let's welcome my guest, Sister Maryam. Assalamu alaikum, Maryam. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam, Amara. I'm good, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, well, and you? And jazakallah for joining us on today's program.
Alhamdulillah, thank you for having me.
Well, Sister Maryam actually has a website which has a diverse wealth of recipes that have been tried and tested, as well as food photography and travel reviews as well. Now, if you look at the Middle Eastern cuisine, it has grown rapidly over the last few years. The rich textures, taste, and the incredible element of using fresh ingredients to complement a dish, which really been a joyous occasion for many taste buds around the world. And while the cuisine itself may not be everyone's favorite cup of tea, it certainly gives us ideas on meals when we are tired of those trusted recipes. And I'm sure you'll agree with me on that, Maryam.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We got to have some diverse flavor incorporation into our everyday, you know, meals and things.
Yes, certainly. Now, Maryam, tell us about the name behind your blog and your website.
Okay, Food Eva Marseille. The Marseille part is just a combination of my name, Maryam, and my surname, Sayed. So it's just a Marseille, and it actually started way back when I got onto social media platforms, and I just used Marseille with the little numeric denominator on the side. So I just kept on to Marseille, and the Food Diva part is when I started blogging. I knew I wanted to focus a lot on food blogging, and I am absolutely no diva, so I just switched that over to without putting an I. So instead of the I, I put an E, so rather that Food Diva Marseille. But it's actually more to do with food and travel and my passion for photography. That's about it.
Well, I love the name behind your blog and your Instagram page as well. Now, Maryam, what is your favorite Middle Eastern dish?
My favorite, but I would have to tell you, it's a meze. It's hummus. It's one of the first stuff that I actually tried and enjoyed when I started traveling to the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And I think then the Ali would be my favorite dessert. Mm-hmm. I love the simplicity of it. And yeah, that's about it.
Yes, I think there's a story behind Ali, but we'll wait for that later on, okay? Yes. Now, Maryam, what is your cooking inspiration, and how much of experimentation plays a role in creating new recipes?
Okay, the inspiration part for me when it comes to food would be every elder woman in my family, from my grannies to my aunts, to my late mum, late aunts. And, you know, they always played a part in the interest for being, you know, involved in food and stuff. And then also, I wouldn't want to put just the woman in the family. My late granddad, my dada, he was one of the well-known cooks in Durban. Mm-hmm. And then my uncle, Ahmed Issa, he is a cook. Mm-hmm. And my inspiration came from even the men in my family. My father-in-law is also an avid cook at home. So all of those. And then later on in life, I guess the travels brought in a lot of inspiration because yes. Then you want to mm-hmm. try different cuisines from other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, certainly. Yes. So your inspiration behind your cooking was basically not the females but the males.
No, I would put them both because, I mean, they did equally, you know, contribute to my being inspirational for me. I would say both the female and male. You know, we often leave out the males in the family. There are some males that do enjoy cooking or are great cooks, you know, but we don't really mention them often.
Oh, of course, yes. Now, you know, I haven't asked this question to any of my guests, but I thought I'd ask this one to you, you know. What ingredients would you bring on a desert island with you and why?
Okay, I think the main thing I would bring on is all my spices.
Okay.
Because if you look at all of those reality shows of being on islands, you know, everything is so bland and they're just making their rice and, you know. So I would bring my spices, my spice dabba, and yeah, carry along some rice. I mean, if it's an island, you're going to get some fresh fish or whatever, you know, you could use that and spice that up. And I think I would bring chickpeas. I really love chickpeas.
Chickpeas, eh?
Canned stuff, I mean, good enough. So yeah, it would last you longer.
Yes, certainly. I agree with you that on the spice dabba. Okay. Now, what is the most adventurous Middle Eastern dish you have eaten and was it good?
Okay, I would go for the Jordanian and Palestinian manseef. Mm-hmm. It was very, very delicious. And I actually had it when a friend of ours, when we lived in Bahrain, a friend of ours invited us over for a meal. And the wife prepared for us the manseef. I enjoyed it all the while until they put on a whole lot of the white yogurt that it's cooked in. Mm-hmm. Now, personally, if people know me, they know I'm so fussy with my food. I don't want things stacked on top of each other, and I want things like separate and neat on my plate. So I think that was the only time I didn't enjoy it when that yogurt sauce came over it. It was, although it's cooked in it, and the meat and the rice and everything takes on the delicious flavor of it. But for me, I didn't like the yogurt part added on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, when you talk about Middle Eastern cuisine and you're staying in Bahrain, did you find it very bland?
It would be bland, but if you, like, had Lebanese food, which is absolutely amazing, that is what I enjoyed the most. I enjoyed the Lebanese flavors more. But there are some dishes, like the Bahraini machbush and things. There's a lot of flavor in it. It's almost like our South African, how can I say, like acne.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very similar. So it's loaded with flavor. It's just as some dishes can be. I know the Turkish dishes are quite bland.
Very bland, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very bland. I did go to Turkey, but there was just a few things that I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know when you're going to travel to the Middle East, you're going to get bland food. So you end up taking some chili sauce and things like that.
I've seen some people do that, yes. They've taken, I haven't done it. I haven't done that personally.
Yes, I've taken it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, over to this recipe. You know, when you sent me the recipe, I thought, oh, there's such a rich, lovely recipe. Mm. You call it Ali. It's a croissant pudding, you know. It's the first time I heard about this. And you even say it's a marriage between two wonderfully different flavors. Mm. The good old creaminess of a bread pudding and a sweet, nutty combination of a baklava. So, indeed, very different, you know. So, please go ahead and share the recipe with us.
Yeah, I will. Okay, I do call it a croissant pudding because it's more of a newer version. If you look at like outside of Egypt or the Middle East, where they wouldn't particularly use croissant, you know, they would probably use stuff like a pastry or what do you call it, phyllo pastry or something like that.
Yes, a phyllo pastry,
you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, but now, I mean, we don't always would have what they have on that end of the world. So croissant makes a good substitute for it. So now the umali that I have serves about 6 to 8 people. Difficulty is easy. The ingredients, can I go ahead?
Yes, you sure.
Okay. The ingredients used are 3 large or 4 mini butter croissants, 4 cups of milk, that's about a liter, 3/4 cups of cream. This can be either dessert cream, your canned dessert cream, or thick fresh cream. 1/2 cup of condensed milk. Or if you don't want to use 1/2 cup, go according to your taste.
Taste,
if you need more or less. Okay. 2 tablespoons of rose water. 1 teaspoon of cardamom powder. 2 or 3 tablespoons of flaked almonds, sultanas, pistachios that are sliced. Mm-hmm. And they can be any amounts of those that you would prefer.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the instructions for the recipe. Preheat your oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Prepare a baking sheet covered with tin foil onto which you're going to place your casserole dish.
All right.
Lightly grease a small to medium-sized rectangular casserole with butter. Warm the milk, the cream, the condensed milk, the rose water and cardamom powder on medium heat. And there's no need to boil. You just need to warm it up.
All right.
Break the croissant pieces into bite-sized pieces and layer this into the casserole. It is fine if it sort of like crumbles. Pour 1.5 cups of the warmed liquid over the croissant and scatter the dish with the sultanas, flaked almonds and pistachios. Carefully pour the rest of the warmed liquid all over the dish. Place the casserole onto the prepared baking sheet, the one with the foil on it, and bake it in the oven on the center rack for approximately 20 to 30 minutes or until lightly golden on top.
Mm-hmm.
Now take care and note that not to overbake the dish. Take care not to overbake the dish as it will dry out. After removing from the oven, allow the dish to cool for about 5 minutes before serving into small dessert dishes. And this dessert is best enjoyed warm or at room temperature with a sprinkle of chopped pistachio nuts. Enjoy.
Ideal for winter, Mariam. Ideal for winter.
Perfect. That's why I sent you that.
Okay.
It's something different from our regular butter, bread and butter pudding, you know.
Can I see you've actually used the croissants because they're very flaky?
Gee, that's it.
Okay, so you use the amount of croissants. Can you use the amount of croissants to fit your casserole dish?
You could. And then obviously if it's more croissants, then you just up your liquid amounts.
All right.
To that, thank you.
Okay.
And the reason, if you're wondering why I covered the baking sheet with foil at the beginning, It's just a little tip that I do just to help catch any spills. You know, if you're going to have some splashes or spills.
Yes, a very good idea. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gee, so that now your casserole is on that foil
tray. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that catches it, and you just throw that away when it's all done.
Yes, certainly. Okay. Mariam, jazakallah khair for joining us on Radio Islam and on this program as well. And jazakallah for sharing the lovely recipe. Well, I'm certainly going to be trying it out this weekend, inshallah. And I'm sure most of the listeners are also going to be trying out. For the listeners out there, the recipe will be on the website. Send another 30 minutes to an hour's time. Faiza's running a bit late as well, so she will upload it onto the website as well. But you can also go on to, Mariam, share with us your Instagram details and your website details as well for the benefit of the listeners.
Gee, my Instagram handle is at Foodiva Marseille. Foodiva is Foodiva _Marsay. And my website is www.mariamsayed.com.
Okay, JazakAllah once again, madam. You enjoy the rest of your day and you have a lovely weekend. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ameen, pleasure. Wa alaikum salam. Well, that was Sister Maryam Essa Sayed, and she is she actually is a great food blogger as well, and creates her own recipes that has been tried in testers, and is also excellent in food photography, and she gives lots of food travel reviews as well. So once again, her Instagram page is at Foodiva Marseille. I'll just spell it for you at @FOODEVA Marseille, Marsay. Okay, let's go for a short break. When we come back, we're talking more Middle Eastern cuisine with my co-hosts Auntie Greja and Auntie Hava. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Well, today we're talking Middle Eastern cuisine, and I'd like to welcome both my co-hosts online. Assalamu alaikum, Auntie Hava. How are you keeping?
Walaikum salam, alhamdulillah, and hope to hear the same from the people that are listening to us today.
Yes, certainly. Assalamu alaikum, Auntie Greja. How are you keeping?
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am alhamdulillah well, and I hope all the listeners are also well.
You know, Auntie Greta and Java, I really do miss you, aunties, yeah, in the studio. Yeah. You know, coming to the studio, before people come to, we have a good chat and we come into the studio, and it just, you know, sitting alone, I really missed you. But inshallah, soon.
Inshallah.
Okay, soon. Well, today we're talking Middle Eastern cuisine, and maybe Auntie Hava can just come in here and tell us about what kind of food is Middle Eastern cuisine?
Okay, Middle Eastern foods. Let's talk a little bit about the history of this place and how it originated. The Middle East is formerly known as the Fertile Crescent between the Tigris and the Euphrates. Wheat was first cultivated here, followed by barley, pistachios, figs, olives, etc. In this region also, fermentation was discovered to make bread and to make beer. The earliest written recipes are also amongst the recipes in this area. This area was the hub of food and recipe exchange. The cuisine of the Middle East is a whole degree of homogeneity. It is influenced by the types of people that brought you there or lived there, and types of people that are there are Arabs, Kurdish, Turkish, Jewish, etc., just to name but a few. This food is very popular, and it is also said that it is the fastest growing ethnic cuisine in Britain. Popular ingredients used in this type of foods are olives, olive oil, pitas, rose water, tal or sesame seeds, dates, mint, and honey. All these revolve around including these kinds of ingredients in their food. Another very important thing that plays a big role in the Middle Eastern food is religion. Because religion influences the cuisine, that is, neither Jew nor Muslim will eat pork or consume alcohol, as this is a part that the Quran forbids.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When you take the types of grains you get there, we mentioned wheat, barley, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It is a staple food. Rice also staple, and bread is eaten at almost every meal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They make a special kind of bread.
Mm-hmm.
Once or twice I did try it out. Alhamdulillah, it did come out okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the oven, but you know the one like the tandoori oven.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we don't have that, right? Wheat is also in the form of bulgur wheat,
mm-hmm.
couscous. And they also use ingredients in this cooking, and used in salads and tobole,
mm-hmm.
and making meat pies. Friedkirk, I think that's how it's pronounced.
Can you greet it to meti?
Mm-hmm. No, that's not meti.
Okay.
It's used, and it comes from the immature green wheat.
Okay. Okay, it's something different in Java.
Yeah, it is from there. That is ground and put into the meat dishes, for example, when they are making kofta.
Okay,
chibi,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to bind the mixtures, yeah. The flavorings used there in the Middle East, they're very fond of butter or ghee, also known as semen. It is preferred. Olive oil is a preferred medium of cooking. Like we use sunflower oil, etc. They like olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
Olive oil is mainly used in the Mediterranean coastal areas. And then when you come to spices, we have all these warm spices like cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, etc. And they have a blend called sumac.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The sumac is made by crushing a common berry, which is sourish, mm-hmm. right? And it is mixed with thyme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This spice is put onto grilled meats. It's sprinkled onto grilled meat or sometimes even on fried eggs, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And it is popular at the breakfast.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thyme in the Middle East or thyme blends are called zaatar.
Zaatar,
yeah. Mm-hmm. My pronunciation is not that good.
Don't worry, Adyava.
Okay. When it comes to the meats, lamb and mutton, very popular. It is recommended method of cooking is the grilling and the kebabs, which is then put onto a skewer and cooked over open fire or in an oven.
Mm-hmm.
The most common is the cube meat, like we explained just now, which is called a kofta or a kebab.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And these are made with the spices mentioned, and they are shaped like a torpedo. And they put onto a long sausage, made into a long sausage on the skewer, and grilled.
Mm-hmm.
This is a typical street food.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you also find it in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Another popular dish is kibbeh. Kibbeh is a mixture of ground meat, wheat, crushed wheat,
mm-hmm.
and other spices, and it is like a dumpling,
mm-hmm.
or it is made into a pie. And the cereal used to shape and make this is the one that I mentioned earlier, the zaatar.
Zaatar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for flavoring, mm-hmm. right? Then you have the uncooked one. They serve it cooked or uncooked. The uncooked one is usually served with drips of lemon juice or chili sauce.
Mm-hmm.
They don't use very much chili in the food here.
No, very bland.
Mm-hmm. Their foods are quite bland. And my son was out there sometime about a year or so ago. He got tired of eating bland kebabs or koftas.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
when they came back, they just wanted spicy food.
Spicy food, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, taking the vegetables into consideration, mostly grown there. The vegetables they have there, we have on our side as well. Right? Most of them. Mm-hmm. The eggplant is often fried and has or seared and served in yogurt, garlic, right? Another way of roasting or making or using up the eggplant is to roast it in the oven because we don't have an open fire until it is blackened on the outside and the pulp inside is soft.
Yes. Mm.
Then you remove the skin, you mash up the pulpy part, and you flavor it with tahini. Tahini, it is a paste that is made from sesame seed.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon juice, garlic, and cumin.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular one is known as baba ganoush.
Yes. Yes.
It's very tasty. It is served with fried pita, or chips.
It's more like a dip.
It's like a dip, yeah. Yes. It's very, very tasty. Mm-hmm. And when I do make it, I just add a little bit of green chili in it as well.
Just to add a spice on it, yes.
Just to give it that, like we say at home, to give it the kick.
The kick, oh yes. Okay.
Okay, when you take the grains in consideration, you have the beans, the pulses. They are very popular there and they are used a lot by everybody. And then, of course, you've got to think of the different types of classes of people that live there and who would use the rice and cereals the most.
Mm-hmm.
Most famous is the falafel.
Mm-hmm.
Very tasty also. Dolma. which is a filling, which it consists of a filling of rice, pine nuts, grape, and then they are wrapped in grape leaves,
yes.
And they are steamed. The filling is wrapped in a grape leaf, and it is steamed, and it is served as a side dish with other foods that are cooked with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Then you have the desserts, and most popular of them all is the baklava.
Baklava, oh, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And then you have the chai bath and the kunafa.
Oh, it's so lovely.
Yeah.
Kunafa.
And this is made of basbousa.
Basbousa, yeah. Wow, it's so tasty.
Also. Yeah, very tasty dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And in these desserts, they use mainly honey, pastry, phyllo pastry, for example, with the baklava, right?
Mm.
And then they use also a lot of butter. It is very rich, very tasty, and also expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And very fattening too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, if we have it on a weekly basis, I'm sure we will be quite fat. Talking about the Middle Eastern cuisine, we also got spices that we have here, that here in South Africa. And sumac, etc., you can buy it here in special stores because we are fortunate to have Middle Eastern stores, Chinese stores, etc., with all their kinds of food.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know where they are and you need this thing and you are making whatever, then you are free to go there and get whatever you need. And you don't have to buy large amounts. You can buy just enough to make up your dish. Because trusting our families, when we are cooking and trying out something new, always make a small amount. And when they taste it and say it's okay, then you can go big.
Oh, yes, Aunt Yava, I agree with you that, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, now coming to spices, for us here in South Africa, we have the medicinal spices first. Right, we have ajmo, which is a thymol seed, or celery. And then we have a hario, which we mentioned last week for the ginger part, right? It is an Indian linseed. Then we have charmagach, which is crushed and put into hot milk and honey.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I think we use that for memory.
It's also very good for confining mothers.
For confining mothers as well. That is charmagach.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things are available, you know, in our local stores.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And we have a lot of different kinds of salt. Then we've got hanshura, which is a rock salt. You use that when you're making gatia, for example.
Yes.
And then when you've got hing, it's asateva, right? Mm. It is a preservative used in achar, right? Then we have karak, which is a dry date.
Yes.
And then we have kari, musli. I don't know what this one is. Nepali root, Nelapani root. Auntie Katija?
No.
Okay, we'll just do a quick search on that one as well.
Yeah.
Okay. It's what's the name of that, Auntie Hava? It's a Nelapani root, okay.
Nelapani root.
Okay.
Kari musli.
Okay, it's on my tongue. okay. I'm just checking here now. Okay. It's actually called a musli powder. Okay. It's got a lot of benefits as well.
Yeah. What is it used for?
Let me go through it again. All right. Okay. It's actually used for... okay. It's actually called... Okay. I'm just going to go... Okay. It's actually used for lung ailments like bronchitis, digestive problems, heartburn, and that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's called Kali Musli.
Yes,
I think it's a, they call it wild florist. Okay, the English name is Black Musli.
Black Musli.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
then you have the kulunji, the onion seed. And from what I heard, this kulunji is very good for this COVID.
Yes, there's so much of remedies.
We use it for that.
I think it needs to be used with precaution. You need to always see your doctor before you use it as well.
Yes, yes.
And especially if you're using like blood thinning medication, high blood pressure medication. So best to take advice from your doctor.
before you start
It's a lot of heat in it as well.
You get it in various different things because you get the oil, you get the seeds, you get it in honey,
yes.
You get the lozenges also now that it's out.
Mm-hmm.
So you get it in all different types of the kalonji actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay, some of the other spices we also know and use quite commonly is badam, adrak, mm-hmm. which is ginger,
mm-hmm.
Chana, which is gramdol,
mm-hmm.
danya, coriander, cilantro, elachi, cardamom, faluda grass, which is China grass or agar-agar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all these come into play when Ramzan is around.
Yes.
Because we use quite a lot of these things during that particular month. Right,
mm-hmm. and they use a lot of pine nuts in the Middle East.
In the Middle East, no pine nut is very common there because it's grown there.
Yes, they use a lot of pine nuts.
And here at home, it is quite expensive.
Very expensive.
Expensive. Mm-hmm. So you don't go for it in a hurry.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, Auntie Hava, I just wanted to come in here. Yeah. You know, we spoke about za'atar. You know, now za'atar is actually a spice made up of thyme, oregano, marjoram, sumac, toasted sesame seeds, and salt. So that would give you a za'atar.
Yes, yes. That would give
then there's another one. They call it...
Dukka. The dukka.
The dukka. Yeah. Auntie Kareja, I can come in with a dukka.
Mm.
What spices form dukka?
I don't know what it consists of, but I know they use it a lot also.
Quite a lot.
They sprinkle it over the yogurt.
Yes.
And then they have it with the bread.
Especially in the evening, like, you know, when we go for umrah.
In Makkah and Medina, yes. Then there's another one called baharat.
Yes.
I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it properly. Apologies for that. It's basically like a mixed spice. It's their type of garam masala, which you actually make up of black pepper, coriander, that's your danya, powder, paprika, cardamom, that's your elachi, nutmeg, your cumin, that's your jeera, your cloves, your cinnamon, and your dried rosebuds.
Mm.
So that's their type of a garam masala.
Okay. Now, all these spices, they are purchased ready ground or ready made.
Yes, yes.
Right. In the past, of course, they used to make it on their own,
mm-hmm.
depending on the availability of the ingredients.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go for a short break. Now, when we come back, Auntie Kareja is going to share with us the recipes, and we're going to chat more about the Middle Eastern cuisine as well. And we'd love to hear from you. What's your favorite Middle Eastern dish? You can share with us on 072-786-1548. Even if you've got a cooking or baking question or concern, you can send that in, and we, inshallah, we'll be able to answer your question. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Today we're talking Middle Eastern cuisine, and let's go over to Auntie Kareja with the recipes. Auntie Kareja is going to be sharing with us a Malay skewers, then we've got a hummus recipe and marinated olives. So stay tuned for that. Auntie Kareja, over to you.
Okay, so for the first one, it's the Malay skewer recipe. You take your chicken fillet, wash fillet, and slit down in the center, making 6 to 8 chunky cubes. Then you marinate it with the following ingredients. That's fresh cream, yogurt, green chilies, garlic, a bit of red ginger garlic masala, lemon juice, lemon pepper, aromates, mixed herbs, and a taste of salt. You marinate overnight for a few hours. You skewer it on sticks. It can be dried or just popped into a hot oven for 15 to 20 minutes, just until done so they don't dry out. You serve it with a side salad, pitas, yogurt, and hummus.
That sounds lovely, Aunt Kareja.
It is very nice. Now, you must adjust your measurements.
Your measurements, yes. You need to judge.
The amount of meat that you're using.
Okay. The next recipe is a hummus recipe.
Yes, okay. For the hummus recipe, you take 2 tablespoons of sesame seeds and you roast it in a pan. You grind it into a paste in a grinder. Then you take a can of chickpeas and drain the water. Add the sesame paste to the chickpeas and liquidize it. You can add a bit of liquid or a little vinegar to get a desired consistency. You could add a bit of yogurt to this as well. Add salt, garlic, and whatever spice you like chili or za'atar if you want.
You drizzle it with olive oil and you enjoy. Very easy, simple recipe, this one also, the hummus.
Okay, and the next recipe is a marinated olive and grater. The first one I've come across this. So for all the olive lovers, here's a lovely recipe for you.
It is really very nice. Okay, you take your marinated olive, you take fresh garlic, thyme, oregano, olive oil, dried red chilies, fresh green chilies, brown vinegar, sugar, and black pepper. What you do is you heat your olive oil in a pan, you add your garlic, your thyme, your oregano, your whole red chilies, your green chilies, and black pepper. You fry it for a bit and add sugar and brown vinegar. Place olives in a sealable container. Pour over the oil and seal and serve and enjoy.
Lovely, Auntie Karicha.
Lovely.
Very, very nice. Yes, okay. We've got a couple of questions coming through. This one says, Salams, what is za'atar made up of? Okay, za'atar is made up of thyme, oregano, marjoram, sumac, toasted sesame seeds, and salt.
Okay.
Then a listener wants to know, I want to know how to make ginger soup with chicken.
Okay,
Auntie Karicha.
Ginger soup is very easy. You just make a nice little vagar in your pot and you add a bit of spices like your tej and ilachi and whole black pepper. And once that is nicely done, you add your chicken fillet into onion vagar and you just braise it with a little bit of green masala, nice amount of ginger in there, a little bit of salt, a little udad and dry turna. You braise all this very nicely. And then to thicken it, you can even add some crushed oats and braise it for a while and add water to your pot and let it boil and boil and boil till it's nice and thick. And you have this lovely ginger soup. It's really nice in the winter months.
Okay. Okay, then somebody wants to know what is eggplant. What eggplant is brinjals?
Oh, the brinjals.
Okay. Okay. And then also, you know, in the Middle Eastern cuisine, they use lots of yogurt mixed with cucumbers and olive oil as well, you know. And they also use like stuffed grape leaves, you know. And also...
That's for the dolma.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Then they call it street pizza covered with cheese, meat, and thyme as well. They call it, I'm not sure of the name, like a meat pizza. Okay. Then also, we're asking the listeners a question is, what's your favorite Middle Eastern dish? And somebody said kunafa in harissa soup. And the question, what's harissa soup made of?
Harissa soup, I think, I'm not too sure.
It's like a chili paste. Harissa. It's like a chili paste that you use in your food.
I think they put a bit of beans in there and things like that to make a soup up, actually.
Yeah, but the main flavoring is like the chili paste.
That
it is
obtainable here in South Africa.
Oh, it's a paste, yes.
It's a paste, yeah.
It's a Tunisian hot chili pepper paste.
Okay.
The main ingredients of which are roasted red peppers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and so, you know, if you're talking about red peppers also, you know, some red peppers are hot and some are not so hot, you know.
Totally
mild as well. And you won't find Middle Eastern cuisine with lots of green chilies, but you'll find more garlic and more olive oil. In fact, sometimes they take the olive oil and they brush it on the bread and have that. And... there was another one I wanted to discuss was the, they don't have too much of rice also, I notice. More breads.
Yeah. And they use a lot of, they use couscous also.
Oh, yes.
That's one of the ingredients that they use, yes.
Okay.
And the popular bread is the pita bread.
The pita bread, okay.
Yeah, not like the one we have here, but pita bread.
Okay. This one says, no, it's a soup with chickpeas and meat shredded, normally lamb or beef and lots of veg.
Yes.
Okay, Jazakallah for that, for correcting us on that, listener. Okay, much appreciated. We've learned something today
We're always learning,
absolutely, yes. And then they also use like lentils, Auntie Hava?
Yeah, the lentils they use there is mainly like
beans, pulses like masoor, etc.
The pink masoor. Yeah.
The pink masoor.
They actually make a lovely lentil soup with that.
Make a soup with that, yeah.
It's lovely, yes. Mm-hmm. And then also turmeric is also getting used also.
Yeah, turmeric is very important because from the medicinal point of view, it is like an antibiotic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, last week we spoke about that as well. Mm-hmm. And then they use lots of, you know, if you look at those dried yogurt cheese, okay?
Right.
And then that also they use, and then they also have a lot of spinach pies. Yes. And then another thing, yes, Antiava?
Another ingredient they use is a lot of flat parsley, not our normal curly parsley.
Mm-hmm.
You find the flat leaf parsley, that's a lot that they use in the Middle Eastern.
Okay, mm-hmm. And lots of tomatoes as well.
Yes.
And then they actually make like a fattoush. It's basically like a kachumar. It's a salad made with purslane, parsley, mint, onion, garlic, cucumbers, tomatoes, lemon juice, and olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite tasty as well.
It is, and then they roast the bread and put the, you know, like croutons on in the fattoush. It
yes.
is so lovely. Yes.
It's very, very tasty as well. Mm-hmm. And then they even have their type of teas where you find they actually spice up the tea with a bit of ilachi.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Or a little bit of ginger. They can use both.
A little of ginger as well,
ginger,
yes.
Powdered okay. ginger, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you won't find them using lots of ginger, but garlic, lots and lots of garlic.
Lots of mm-hmm. garlic they use.
Mm-hmm. Then you've got another variety of pita bread, a French bread. They call it a markouk. It's a mountain bread, a thin bread baked on a dome dish over an open fire.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Then another listener says they also use binda in curry with mutton.
Okay.
Okay. That's lovely as well. Another name for binda is...
okra.
Okra, yeah. Correct,
okra,
yes.
Yeah.
Okra. Mm-hmm. And lots of cabbage as well. Mm-hmm. Sweet peppers as well. Beets as well. Butter green spinach as well. Mm-hmm. So lots and lots of like green vegetables they actually use. And you find it's very healthy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also lots of bananas, apricots, sweet plums, figs, melons, apples, pistachios, and almonds as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually is lovely. And, okay, Antiava, do you have any drinks that they actually normally have?
Any?
Drinks that they use?
Yeah, they use fresh fruit juices.
Mm-hmm.
The made-up ones, I have no idea about those. But they make a lot of, fresh kiwi fruit.
Oh, yes, the kiwi fruit.
They use the kiwi fruit, pineapples, etc., all that makes lovely juices.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they add sometimes things like rose water to improve the taste.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, well, that's where we... Okay, this listener says... this came to us from a friend in Medina. I made the tea. Those that got corona should have every 2 hours. Okay, she sent a video of that. And I think she's got cinnamon, cloves, ginger, bay leaves, and lemon. All
okay.
right?
Boil all that together.
Yes, and you have a tea of that. Okay, mm-hmm. So before we actually wrap up today's program, it's cinnamon, it's ginger, lemon, bay leaves, and cloves. So you need to actually have that two to three times a day for those who have COVID, okay? No, sorry, every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours.
Every
yeah.
2 hours. And, you know, Ultra Grant complete Shifa Amin to all those who have got COVID as well. And the last one is pomegranate juice with a dash of ginger.
Yes,
oh, that must
be quite tasty.
Yes. Very, very tasty. Well, that's where we come to the end of a lovely, interesting, informative program. Jazakallah khair to Auntie Hava and Auntie Khadija. Inshallah, back with you next week on another informative program. I really enjoyed the program. Learned so much on the Middle Eastern cuisine as well. Recipes will be up later on the website.
the Faiza is running a bit late, but inshallah, just bear with her. She will be able to assist you. You can maybe give her a call after 2 hours. So if you don't have access to internet, give her a call on 011-854-7022 and recipes on www.radioislam.co.za. From me, Amara, Auntie Kareja, Auntie Hava, my producer, Mumtaz, and my engineer, Maulana Naeem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.